from Luke chapter 2, verses 46 to 52. And when it says him, it means Jesus here, of course. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man.
ルカによる福音書2章の41節から52節読みします。さて、イエスの両親は杉越の祭りには毎年エルサレムに行った。イエスが12歳になられた時も、両親は祭りの慣習に従って都へ登り、祭りの期間を過ごしてから帰路に着いたが、少年イエスはエルサレムに留まっておられた。両親はそれに気づかなかった。イエスが一行の中にいるものと思って、一日の道のりを行った。それから親族や知人の中を探し回ったが、見つからなかったので、イエスを探しながらエルサレムまで引き返した。そしてようやく3日の後に、イエスが宮で教師たちの真ん中に座って、話を聞いたり質問したりしておられるのを見つけた。聞いていた人々は皆、イエスの知恵と答えに驚いていた。両親は彼を見て驚き、母は言った。まあ、あなたはなぜ私たちにこんなことをしたのです。見なさい。父上も私も心配してあなたを探し回っていたのです。するとイエスは両親に言われた。どうして私をお探しになったのですか。私が必ず自分の父の家にいることをご存じなかったのですか。しかし両親にはイエスの話された言葉の意味がわからなかった。それからイエスは一緒に下って行かれ、ナザレに帰って両親に仕えられた。母はこれらのことを皆心に留めておいた。イエスはますます知恵が進み、背丈も大きくなり、神と人とに愛された。
Good morning again. If you're wondering why the Japanese was longer than the English, Tamal read from verse 41, I believe. It's one of those translation issues where they have like this long saying and it's just like, hello. No, just kidding. Today I want to talk about growing in the Lord. Growing in the Lord. And I wanted to take a look at Jesus' life. So last week, as customary, we look at Jesus' birth a lot of time during Christmas. And today I wanted to look at Jesus, but not when he's in his ministry, in his calling. That's most of what the gospel talks about. But in Luke, there's a snapshot, a glimpse of when Jesus was 12. And Phil was joking, that snapshot we get of Jesus and his mother is like they're kind of bickering, going back and forth. Where were you? It's like, what are you doing? Kind of thing. But I don't know if that's what happened. You know, Luke doesn't give us a commentary of what was going on. But so, and Mary even herself says, like she didn't understand what Jesus was saying. So today I'm here to tell you, I'm here to clear everything up. I'm here to clear the air and give you guys what actually happened. You guys excited about that? Really? Well, no. I'll give you my take on it anyways. But let us pray. In fact, you know, Sandy is here today, and I think earlier this week, just she started to feel, she's been feeling sick for a long time. And they might have diagnosed her with jaundice. And so, can we just, if you're close to her, lay your hands on her. But let's just extend our prayers to Sandy before we start. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. Father, this this year was not easy for a lot of us. But for Sandy, Lord, it's just been very difficult. And I pray, Father, that you would comfort her. You would speak to her. You will bless her body, her mind, her emotion, her spirit. You'll give her peace, Lord. And Father, even as we gather here, Lord, I pray for your peace to enter into this space. Lord, every fabric of our being, Lord, may it be touched by your presence, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, it's been a tough year. It may be a tough decade for us, but I want you to know, even before I just talk about this, just I feel like God is saying, in every circumstances, God is taking us from glory to glory. That even after, even if you're 80 or you're just 8, whatever the circumstances, God is taking us from glory to glory to glory. And he doesn't stop that. That's part of the good news with God. It's our life doesn't end here. In a lot of ways, it's just the beginning. This part of our life is just the beginning of greater things to come, from glory to glory to glory. Today, as we look at growing in the Lord, it says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. This is a stage of Jesus' life that we don't get a lot of information about. And so we do have to sort of read into the text a little bit. But they say he was 12. 12 is probably not the same 12 back then as it is today. You know, looking at Joseph and Mary's life, Jesus' parents, Mary was about 14 or 16. And even in Jewish traditions or customs, there's a thing called bar mitzvahs, which is at age 13. Of course, this tradition didn't start till maybe 1,000 years after Jesus walked on the earth. But it just goes to show that in their culture, 13 is the age of reasoning, the age of accountability kind of thing. Jesus was 12. He was at the brink of that. He's just right there. So even though he's young, he's not super young. That's sort of what I want to say. I was just doing the internet. I was trying to do like sloppy internet searches, and I ran into the oldest, the youngest college grad. Guess what the youngest college grad is?
Seven.
Close. Nine. Close. It was 10. 10 years old. I believe it's Michael Kearney or something like that. I don't even know what I was doing at 10. I was not graduating college at 10. Wow. Anyways, so Jesus isn't that young. He is 12 years old. Of course, he probably is a child prodigy, and he's with amongst some of the greatest thinkers and minds of the religious world of the time, of the Jewish religious world of the time, and they're just amazed at what's coming out of Jesus' mouth. And they're going back and forth with Jesus. Just to go back a little bit, in Jesus' childhood, he grew up probably in a good Jewish family where every year they'd make pilgrimages to Jerusalem, which is written, which Moses taught them to do. Passover, every Pentecost, every Sukkoth. 3 times a year, they'd come to Jerusalem, they'll make the pilgrimage there. This time it's Passover, they make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and it's probably pretty festive. A lot of people make the pilgrimage, it's festive. There's a lot of things going on, and all of a sudden, Jesus' family is on their way back home, and they're in a big group, probably. And I heard, you know, the men and the women, they didn't travel together, so probably Joseph was with the men and Mary was with the women. And, you know, as a kid, you could go either way. And so Joseph is thinking, oh, Jesus is with Mary, and Mary thinking, oh, Jesus is with Joseph. And they come together and they're like, hey, where's Jesus? And they're like, I thought he was with you. It's like, no, he was supposed to be with you. And they're like, oh my gosh. And so they have to go back to Jerusalem looking for Jesus. And they go and they look at all the different booths they have. I don't know what kind of booth it is. Like, they have the menorah booth and the dreidel booth. No, just kidding. Okay, I'm going to go there. Okay, but they're all going. They're, like, looking for Jesus, right? And there's probably a lot of things going on with hundreds of thousands of people there. Have you ever been to a festival with hundreds of thousands of people? No. Trying to look for a little child, trying to look for a 12-year-old kid, it's like needle in a haystack kind of thing. And they finally catch wind that Jesus is with these scholars talking with them. And they go and they find Jesus. And let's pick it up from here. And they said to them, and Jesus said, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." Oh man, this brings me back to a time when I got lost at the mall. This has nothing to do with the story, but you know, it's one of those things where I was little, probably younger than 12, hopefully, because I started crying. That would be weird if I started crying at 12. And, you know, it's at the mall. I'm hiding under the clothes. You know how they have clothes rack? Did you guys do that? You, like, go under the clothes rack, and it's like a whole new world under there. And it's like, as I was hiding under there, my mom's taking forever to shop. To this day, I hate shopping, maybe because of that. And I popped out and I'm like, "Mom, Mom." And a woman turns around and it's not Mom. And all of a sudden I'm like panicked and it's like, didn't know where Mom was. They must have been, I don't know how old. Two women, they found me crying and they're like, "Are you lost?" And I'm like, I'm really shy, and so they helped me find my mom, though. But in terms of panic, you could imagine the panic the parents was going through. It's just like, oh my gosh, God entrusted us with the Messiah, and we lost him. It's like, what kind of parents are we? But they find him, and they're like, "We were looking all over for you," and Jesus turns around and says, "You guys left?" Probably something like that. "Why were you looking for me?" So this could go either way, right? It's like, wait, you guys really left without me? It's like, what are you guys doing? Putting it on them. Or, you know, maybe Jesus was a little defiant. Maybe, like, they're like, "Oh, we have to go. I want to go talk about the Bible." And maybe he left. I don't know. If I had to guess, I'd be like, Jesus didn't know. He didn't willingly, like, cause this distress on his parents. Otherwise, he might not be the Messiah of the world. That might have counted as a sin against him. So I don't know. Maybe when he says, "Why are you looking for me?" Jesus is simply saying, "I didn't even know you guys left." Like, and second off, if you guys did lose me, don't you know where I'm going to be? I'm not looking at the dreidels. Like, I'm not at the candle shop, you know? I'm going to be here at my father's house. And can you imagine Jesus? So, spoiler alert, this Jesus will become the Messiah, the Anointed One. That is his calling, that is his destiny, that is his purpose, to walk on this earth, to die for the sins of the world, to be the Son of God, the Messiah. He probably knows this, even at that young age. There's a destiny and calling over his life that is undeniable. He is going to replace the old religious order and usher in a new era. And bring a new covenant on how we will, human beings, will relate with God. He's going to do all those things. But he's in this intermediary stage of his life where even though he knows what he's supposed to do, he's still kind of under his parents' supervision. I wouldn't be surprised in this point and period of Jesus' life, his thinking, now I don't think this is sin, but his thinking to himself, you know, if I'm going to accomplish all of that, maybe I should be here at my father's house, meaning the temple, and learn from these great minds. Wouldn't you think that? If he's going to be the Messiah, if he's going to end up being all the things that God called him to do, wouldn't it be a good idea if I grew up here like some of the old people, you know, like Samuel? Didn't Samuel grow up in the temple? Maybe I'm supposed to grow up in this temple and people will know me, people will respect me, and through this, I will enter into my stage of being the Messiah at 30. You ever have that? Like, you kind of know where you're supposed to go, and that point from that B, A to B, that straight line, and you think, this is the way I'm supposed to do it. This is the way that God wants me to go. And all of a sudden, it's not. Jesus is saying here, I'm supposed to be in my father's house. Don't you know where I'm supposed to be? And Mary and Joseph doesn't understand and says, son, you need to come back home to Nazareth. And Nazareth? You know, that's like the south side of Tucson and the south side of the south side of Tucson. It's like, oh my gosh. It's like going back there, taking on my father's carpentry business. That's the path you want me to go on? Look, they all love me here in Jerusalem. They're in awe of what I'm saying and the questions, and they just love me. I love it here. It just feels so good to be here. And the mom is like, nope, you got to go back home. All right, I won't blame it on the mom. The dad is like, nope. The mom is like, go ask dad. And dad is like, no, you got to go. We got to go back. You know, who's going to help me with the table making? And Jesus submits. He submits. In our intermediary times, there are going to be situations where it's not like ideal. Where the way we see it going, it doesn't happen that way. It humbles us. It makes us more reliant on God. It teaches us, you know, in this case with Jesus, to honor his mother and father. And so he goes. Even though this is where it might be better for him to be, he goes. another thing that as I was reading this story and just contemplating on it, you know, Jesus will one day put in a new order of worship. So the sacrificial system that was going on at that time would no longer be necessary. That's what one of Jesus' purpose, one of Jesus' calling, was to bring in a new way of worship. However, even though he knew he is supposed to replace this old order of worship, look what he does. He honors that as well. He's there not to cause trouble, but he's there honoring the way things were. Even though things are going to be changed, he's honoring the old way of doing things. And a lot of times, in our intermediary times, we will run into that. We will run into like the old way of doing things, the old way of thinking, the old guard, whatever it may be, it's going to be there. Have you guys ever run into that before? Some of you have. It's a subtle thing too sometimes. Like as a speaker, I have to be intentional the way I put things sometimes, because sometimes when there are just, I don't want to say new insight into some of these things of the Bible, because, you know, there's always going to be new insights, you know. It's easy for speakers to come up and say, you know, that's how people used to say this about repentance, but repentance is actually this, or, you know, this is what you've heard, but it's actually this way, kind of thing. Just the subtle thing of saying, and also, they're wrong, you know? It doesn't have to be they're wrong, I'm right. It could be, this is what they were given the revelation of, and also let's give more revelation onto that. For each and every one of us, when we run into the old way of doing things, we're going to have to figure out a new way of honoring them. God loves when we humble ourselves and we honor those who have come before us. He loves that thing. He loves that type of attitude. And here Jesus, at the age of 12, knowing that this is so old, so broken, so BC, no, just kidding. It's just stale, moldy. We need to throw this out. He doesn't come with that attitude. Instead, he comes with an attitude of honoring it. He's asking questions. He's giving his own insight. He wants to stay there. He wants to be a part of it. Later on, they would reject him. And that's normally the logical conclusion when you do come and you are part of a newer thing God is doing. The older generation will end up rejecting you. They'll end up rejecting Jesus, but Jesus didn't reject them knowing that they were going to reject him. He honored them. He honored them. He stayed humble. When his parents said it's time to go, he remembered the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. And instead of saying, listen, mom, I'm the Messiah, he said, okay, let's go. He said, okay, let's go. And for the next probably 18 plus years, two decades, instead of learning at the University of Jerusalem, He learns life. And he learns life in Nazareth, a poor town. He learns how to become a carpenter, and I'm sure he became the best carpenter ever. Instead of going to like Harvard, he went to the Ford plant, the factory. Instead of going to this prestigious university, I don't want to say the coal mines, but that's what comes to mind. He went to a working town and he got his hands dirty. He learned life by living and breathing with some of the most unfortunate, poorest people. And God is saying, Jesus, this is what you need. If you want to be able to relate to people, you won't find that at the University of Jerusalem. You need to be with my people. Perhaps 12-year-old Jesus didn't realize that. But in order to be a high priest that can relate to you and I, he had to go through the trials and tribulations of you and I. And so 12-year-old Jesus became 30-year-old Jesus with the education of the streets and knowing how to be compassionate in relating with one another. And all that to say is, you know, when we are in our intermediary stage, we might think one way is better than the other, but God knows. That's a good place to say amen. All right, yes. O-H, no. God knows. We may not be taken to our destination by the most conventional or desired path. Oh. But God knows. So he went down with them to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And I'm not crying because Ohio State lost, just FYI. But, you know, as I look into this small congregation, I know that a lot of us had to go through a lot of stuff. Me, not so much, but you, yes. I think a lot of us had to go through things that were difficult. But like I said, from glory to glory, God will take you. And as Jesus went back down to Nazareth, and you know, he was probably thinking, man, I wish I could be back in Jerusalem. That was so great. From glory to glory, God increased Jesus' wisdom. Contrary to some of these medieval paintings and understanding, Jesus didn't come out of the womb like quoting Shakespeare, because Shakespeare wasn't around. But he didn't come out of the womb like with like, you know, the perfect understanding of everything. He had to grow, and he increased in wisdom. He increased in stature. He increased in favor with both God and man as he submitted to his parents, who probably weren't perfect, but he honored God. And as he honored God and he humbled himself unto an imperfect situation and just not the ideal positions God gave him those things, favor. And as we come into a new decade, that is my prayer for each and every one of us. As we come into just imperfect situation and just the path isn't ideal, that God will give you increased wisdom, stature, favor with both God and humans. That God will give you all those things. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace. Lord, you and only you can make all things work for good for those of us who love you in Christ Jesus. For those of us who are on path, who are on just, who are struggling, I pray, Father, that you would bless us with your peace. Even in the midst of the storm, you'll give us peace. I pray, Father, for 2020. That you'll give those who have honored you, who have worshiped you in the most difficult circumstances, that you would bless with favor, with wisdom, with stature. Just growth, Lord, in character, growth in peace, in joy, in humility, growth in love, growth in all these areas, Lord, where money can't buy, where this world cannot fill, but that you will, Lord, increase that in our lives. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.